Hey, welcome to the podcast of the Mission Del Rey, a spirit-filled multicultural church located in Delray Beach, Florida. You can find more about the mission and Pastor Carl Thomas at www.themissiondelray.com.
So if you got a Bible, go ahead and turn to John chapter 1. We're going to start with verse 1. While you're turning there, I just came back from my cruise. For those of you who don't know, a bunch of folks from the mission went in together, and I guess it wasn't a bunch, but it was a group, went in together and bought me a cruise for my 40th birthday, and I got really blessed by that. My kids said, how come they didn't pay for us to go too? I was like, I don't know, you know, but he was slightly offended. I was rejoicing. Next cruise, we take them with us, but the only souvenirs I really got was a sting from fire coral, which was fairly exciting. That livened up my trip a little bit. But let's pray before we start. Father, we just love you today, and Lord, we just we want to be right with you. That's really the goal here. Father, we don't want to live under a delusion. We don't just want to be soothed. We don't just want you to pat our head and give us some sort of fake confidence. But Lord, we want the real confidence that comes with knowing you. We want to be agents of change on the earth. We want to be conduits of your anointing. And Lord, we want to be that city on a hill. We want to be that light that is not covered by a bushel. So Father, I pray today in the name of Jesus that you would speak to our hearts, that you would remove the blinders from our eyes, the scales, that you would give us ears to hear, Lord, and you would give us a soft heart to receive the conviction of the Holy Spirit, that we may change, that we can be more like you, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Now, I want you to notice this as we start right here. Word is capitalized. Word here is a person. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. In the Word, he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. I want to challenge you today. Next week, we're starting a new series. We're starting a series called Extreme Makeover, Relationships Edition. We're going to make over relationships in our life. We're going to talk about marriage relationships. We're going to talk about being parents to children relationships. We're going to talk about friendship relationships. We're going to talk about our relationship with God. We're going to talk about what the Word says about relationships and how we deal with one another. But right now, I want to talk about our relationship with the Word of God, Jesus Christ. I found so many people love the benefits of God. And what you'll find as we go through relationship series, many people love, or they love happiness. But the point of a relationship is not love or happiness. That's the fruit of a relationship. Good relationships produce love and happiness. Good relationships are not based on love and happiness. It's based on a covenant. So too is our relationship with God. Our relationship with God is not to be based upon what God can do for us. It's not based upon what God can do to us if we don't follow him. It's not even based upon what he can do through us. Our relationship with God is based upon the truth. Our relationship with God is based upon the fact that we're called to have a relationship with God. Now, to a large extent, we get to decide what kind of relationship that is. You know, everybody has a relationship. Most people, it's bad. I want a good relationship with God. I want to be at a place where I'm not loving God when things go good and I'm mad at God when things aren't going so good. The goal, and I want you to write this down if you're taking notes, the goal of our relationship with God is to be a lover of truth. Amen? A lover of truth. The Bible says that Jesus is the truth. The Word of God, Jesus Christ, is truth. There is no truth outside of God. People say, well, what is truth? Truth is relative to... No, there is a truth, and it has a name. Truth's name is Jesus. He is the answer to the world's problems. Jesus Christ is the answer to the world's problems. Because he is the opposite of the world's problems, he is truth. If you come to a place in your walk with God where you decide, I am no longer going to be tossed to and fro by my emotions, I'm not going to be tossed to and fro by man's opinion, I am going to be established on the truth of God. The Bible says, let God be truth and every man be a liar. I'm not looking for opinions on how I do my life. I'm looking on what God says is truth and following that truth no matter where it leads me. I was thinking about our worship today during worship. And I've been a part of coaching networks, church planter networks, pastor coaches who kind of tell you how to grow a big fancy church. And I don't know if you recognize this or not. I don't follow a lot of their advice, as you can tell. But what they told me was, what you have to do is you have to mix up the worship. And I'm not mad at anybody who feels called to do that. You got to mix up the worship so that everybody in your community can enjoy a little bit of it. So you throw in some old hymns. You throw some choir things in there. I'm listening to our worship today, and I'm just like, one song after another is like in the anointing. If you don't like the anointing, you're just not going to like our worship. Because this song, wow, it feels a little aggressive, they want me to worship God or something, but I don't, what happens to the feel good ones, what, maybe that's next. Nope, this one's in my face even more than the last one. What happened? Oh, the sad, sappy one's coming next where I just, nope, that one's even more. We're on our faces now. We're crying out. In this church, we have a goal. Our goal is to love Jesus and get the love of Jesus on the earth to change people's lives. That's our goal. And I embrace that. I'm not mad at people who have a different goal. I have friends who lead churches that are very, very different than mine. And I don't tell them, no, you got to stop. No, this is what I am called to do. I am called to raise up a generation of revivalists. And revivalists don't come in and say, what's going to make you happy? Oh, you don't want to be confronted today. You just want to be soothed. Okay. Let me just tell you about how God is so nice in the trials. No, we talk about, you got a trial. I'm going to teach you how to kick that trial in the mouth and stomp on it and march over it and show other people how to stomp on the trial. Because we're revivalists. It's what we do. We bring revival. You don't hang out around me and, you talk about yoga, I talk about Christianity, and we're just buddies. No, that don't happen. You talk about yoga in my house, I rebuke you. You keep talking, I kick you out. That's what happens in my house. We don't play that. Some of you watched it. I'm really not playing. There's times in my group where we're ministering to people and, enemy manifests. And I don't just be like, I don't want to embarrass them. I'm like, go open the front door. One of y'all are going to leave right now. Either you with your demon or the demon by itself, but somebody's leaving. I'm not having this staying in my house right now. This is what we do. It's what we do. It's what we do. It's who we are. And it's not for everybody. And I'm okay with that. Can I get a little more monitor? I'm like yelling, going hoarse already. Can y'all hear me okay? Do I need to, am I good? Remember our Timothy series? Remember that? Remember, Paul was raising up another revivalist. And he was told him, he said in 1 Timothy 6, he says, look, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Avoid the irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. What's falsely called knowledge. You see, there's a lot of opinions in the world today. There's a lot of things people are teaching that are not based upon truth. Remember we did a whole series about follow your heart? Remember that one? I'll just follow your heart. Oh, wait a minute. The word says my heart is wicked. saying, wow, maybe that's not the best policy. I'd rather follow the truth. And Paul's telling Timothy here, look, things are going to come that rise up against the truth. And it's going to be so perverted around you, it's going to try to steal the truth that's in you. Yeah, they call it knowledge, but I don't wink and smile and say, yeah, all these things are equal and there's many paths to God and, oh, I can understand that. No. No. There's many flavors of Christianity, and I can agree with many Christians on, you know, the essential truths, and, you know, Jesus is God, born of a virgin, men must repent and be saved. I mean, these things that, you know, these are foundational truths. There's no way to the Father except through the Son, Christ Jesus. There's no other way to heaven except through God. I mean, these are true. So I can fellowship with people who may not preach revival. You know, but God is love, and it was all, you know, it depends on how you look at it, because, you know, homosexuals have love, and as long as they're in love, they can be married. And I'm just like, I guess they can, but, you know, God ain't in it. I mean, I'm not persecuting anybody. You can marry your, you know, your brother, but, you know, God ain't in it. I mean, we can't agree on that. Doesn't mean I hate you. I'm not mad at you because, you know, you want to marry your brother. But I can't, the Bible says unless two agree, they can't walk it together. That's not truth. It's not truth. Oh, this thing inside me is just a chemical reaction. It's not really a person. No. That's against the truth. And anybody who has suffered from an abortion, I feel for you on how terrible that is. But you killed your baby. I can't act like you didn't. I'm not mad at you. I don't hate you. I'm not angry at you. I don't want to pick at your house. Because I'm a sinner. I have fallen. But I can't say my sin is okay because I haven't had victory over it. No. I'm a sinner in need of forgiveness from God. Because this is truth. Again, I'm not mad at you. I don't want to, you know, put your name up on a billboard. I don't want to pick at your house, but I can't say it's not sin to kill your child. I mean, I've been angry at my children. Praise God, it's a sin to kill you. I mean, you know what I'm talking about? Those are there for a reason. I'm talking about my spiritual children right now. But, you know, I like my natural children. But hear what I'm saying. We have to base our foundational beliefs upon the truth. Upon the truth. I can't start calling the sun green and saying, you know, that's a new color and it's really green, not yellow. No, bro, you got issues. It's yellow. Truth is truth. And Paul told Timothy, look, you got to guard it because some people say they're sharing knowledge, but it's not really knowledge. Now, I believe in what Paul was specifically talking about in that age was Gnosticism, which is clearly unbiblical. I'm not talking about, you know, little veins of theology in the church right now that, you know, those splitting hairs. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about the truth. And in your heart, you have to be a lover of truth. You got to like truth even when you don't want to hear it. Because it will preserve you. Paul told Timothy later in 2 Timothy 3, he says, but understand this. He says, in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. Who's got times of difficulty? Hello. Hello. If there was any indicator that we were in the last days, that scripture is it. Because we got times of difficulties. Can I hear you say amen? Amen. He says, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless. Now, don't you think it's kind of funny that the Bible says that he resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. God resists the proud, and right up there with resisting the proud, he puts disobedient to their parents. Isn't that funny? Ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, or all puffed up is what that means. They think they're the greatest thing ever. I mean, you turn on any rap station, here's what you got right here. I mean, am I summing it up pretty good? Most music out there today, I mean, does this summarize most music, most pop music? I'm not, you know, railing against pop music. That's not what I'm saying, but I'm saying, let's not be ignorant of what we're quoting over ourselves. Let's just not ignorantly Just confess things over ourselves that are against God's truth. Amen. Without self-control, brutal, not loving good. Verse 4, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit. And here's what I want you to see right here. Here's what I want to talk about today. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Avoid such people, verse 6, for among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led away by various passions, always learning, never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Always learning, but never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Always learning, always. Remember Paul told Timothy about those people who say they got knowledge, but it ain't real knowledge that they have? Because it's not based on the truth. What is the appearance of godliness, but denying the power thereof? I want to really focus on this phrase today. And if you get anything out of this, that's what I want you to get. A lot of Christians hate Oprah Winfrey for some reason. They feel like she is the Antichrist. I don't understand their issue. Like, anybody who's popular and doesn't preach is evil. And a lot of, you know, I mean, if you have any platform, you should either be singing about Jesus or talking about Jesus. And if you're not, why are you talking at all? Right? I mean, sometimes, you know, I like good preaching, but I don't want to sit and watch sermons all day. I read books other than the Bible. I know, yes. Now, they're mostly about people who preach the Bible, but that's irrelevant. But there's a lot of people who do good in the world who aren't Christians, and you can't deny that. There's a lot of good people in the world who don't know Jesus. There's good people in the world who hate Jesus. I mean, they're not going to heaven. I mean, they'll be in a sinner's hell, but they're good people. Because good does not define our relationship with God. It doesn't determine where we go after death. All of us know people who are just really good, nice people, loving, giving people, people who are generous, people who have really been there for us, who refuse to bow their knee to Jesus and then thus be saved. And Paul's saying, look, in the last days, there's going to be people who rise up against the truth, and they're going to be really good, but they're going to be denying the power of goodness. Well, what are we talking about here? Well, let's talk about Oprah Winfrey. And again, I'm not slandering the woman. I never met her. All the time I have people say, hey, pastor, what do you think about this preacher? I'm like, I never met him. I don't have any clue. What do you think about this guy? Never met him. You know, I'm sure he doesn't know my name. You know, I don't know who he is. I'm no person to judge his character. I have no clue. You know, should I buy his book? I don't know. I haven't read it. I don't know what to tell you. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Ask God. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you here. You know, I am not the doorway of truth. So Oprah Winfrey does a lot of good. I know a pastor in Atlanta who's feeding a lot of homeless people. He has started several charitable organizations in Haiti. He's just doing amazing, amazing works. And he won a scholarship, and Oprah Winfrey put him through college. I'd say that's a good work. I'm happy that she paid for his way to go through college, and, you know, and now he's a successful minister because of what she did. That's not going to get Oprah to heaven. It's just not. It's not going to get her to heaven. You hear what I'm saying? What Paul is warning about here in his letter to Timothy, he's saying, look, people can have the appearance of godliness, of goodness, of having characteristics of goodness in their life, but they deny the power. Here's what I want you to hear. There is a power, Paul is trying to say. There is a force that you activate in your life when you capture the truth in your heart and you hold fast to it. There is a power in you bowing your knee to Jesus and saying, I don't care what trial comes, I'm not denying God. There's a power that comes that says, look, I know my bank account looks empty right now, yet I still will not say that God has failed me. I will not curse God to better my feelings and my heart and my circumstances. There is a power through genuine goodness, goodness in the eyes of God, a goodness that says, I am a follower of Christ Jesus. No matter where that road takes me, I will not turn from Him. There's a lot of teachings out there today about the power that's inside of you. The power of attraction, the power of... there's all these teachings out there that get a little bit of scripture and they twist it a little bit and they teach that scripture, and that scripture has power, so it activates things in people's lives. You see, the word, gravity is a law. Amen? There is gravity, and no matter who gets involved in gravity, it's going to work for you. Whether you believe Jesus Christ created the earth or not, gravity will work for you. There is a law in giving that releases blessings in your life. The Bible says that God reigns on the just and the unjust. If you are a giver, if it's in your heart to give, you receive. Because that is a spiritual law. You can be Buddhist, you could be Muslim, you could be Christian. That is a spiritual law. There are New Age experts who teach on tithing. I believe, God extends legs, right? People just know that this, it just happens. Has anybody seen that healing where one leg is short? How many people have seen that happen? It's so common now, New Age people do it. Well, then it must be New Age, right? No, I just believe New Age people believe it's just a law that this God is doing this, and it will just happen. Now, I don't know about that, Pastor. I'm just telling you, Jesus is the healer. There was a time when people used to have to go to meetings for a whole weekend and pray for months to get saved. People used to have to tarry, and they would be under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And I'm only talking a couple hundred years ago. And they would be under the conviction for days and weeks, and they would tarry for God to be for God to convert them. That doesn't happen now. We've had breakthrough in that area. And there were times when people would have these tarrying services, and they would pray all night and all day, and they would tarry for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I now see people get baptized in the Holy Ghost, didn't even want it. We've had such breakthrough in that area. Now, I'm believing that we get full breakthrough in healing. Amen? I'm just believing that, we're just going to walk around and people bump into us and be healed as we have greater breakthrough in that area. There's healings we see at the mission all the time. People just in worship and, oh, wow, look at this. This thing came off my life. I'm believing God for more of that. And eventually the resurrection of the dead, because that is the progression of the foundation faith, as Paul talked about, faith in God, and repentance from dead work. Just through there in the resurrection of the dead, I'm just believing that at one point is going to be it. But, we've come in such an area in modern Christianity that people operate in gifts who don't deserve them. Anybody seen the interview with, was her name Katy Perry? Katy Perry, what's her name? Katie something? She prays in tongues? Yeah, she grew up in a spirit-filled house. She used to say, every now and then I still pray in tongues. I wouldn't if I were you. Probably praying in the Holy Ghost. Wrath of God, come upon me. Who knows? I don't know. But to have the knowledge of God, We've so come into a knowledge. I want you to hear this. We've so come into the knowledge of these spiritual truths that we don't treasure them. And we're not fearful of using them. One day, every pop star will have to bow their knee to Jesus and explain why they decided to be the subject of idolatry. And lust. That's a fearful thing. It's bad enough if you're not a believer. But if you're a spirit-filled Christian and you allow yourself to become an idol and the object of lust and a conduit of an unclean sexual spirit, that's a problem. You got a problem. Because the Bible says they'll become lovers of pleasure instead of lovers of God. Now, we know the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. So if God gives you a gift, the Bible says he does not snatch it back from you. But what will you use it for? That's the question. What will you use it for? Now, you will be held accountable. God gives you a gift. And he's like, all right, you are just stewarding this thing, because at the end of the age, it's coming back to me. You're going to cross over. And the only thing that crosses over are people. Hear me. Only thing that you can sow into in this realm that will be in the next realm are people. You can sow into houses. You can sow into buildings. You can sow into pleasure. None of that crosses over, only people. This is why Jesus Christ put such a premium on family. Because people cross over. And so we're given these gifts, and at the end of the age, we're there before Jesus at the throne, and the great throne of judgment is there, and we got all this stuff. And he's like, what did you do with this stuff? Well, I got really rich. Had sex with a lot of women. Wow. That was a bad choice. Really bad choice. To whom much is given, much is required. Lovers of pleasure instead of lovers of God. When the people say, hey, what, don't you think this might be a problem? Well, God gave me this platform, but not for this. Not for this. I've met a handful of people in my entire life. Now, I don't know everybody's life that I'm around. I don't know everybody's business. I've only met a handful of people who give financially to the extent that it affects their lifestyle. A handful of people. I mean, that's not biblical Christianity. And I'm not talking about, you know, send me money. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not challenging you to give more money to the mission. But I've only met a handful of people in my life who give so much that, you know, it affects their ability to go on vacations or buy nice stuff. I mean, some of them are in this church, believe it or not. But we scrape the little shavings off the top for God. Oh, here's a little bit of for you. Now I get to buy that, you know, thing that I've been lusting over for 5 years. Thank you, Jesus. Really? God delivered that into your hand, huh? I'm forced to doubt that. Lovers of pleasure instead of lovers of God. Jesus was prophesied to come to the earth. Isaiah talked about him. In Isaiah, in prophesying Jesus, he used a really funny word, justice. He said in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1, he says, behold, my servant. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. This is a father talking about a son. I have put my spirit upon him. Yep, that's me. Bless the Lord. I've put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. It says he won't cry aloud or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. Wow, justice. I know what he's talking about. He's talking about people who are in jail who shouldn't be in jail. Well, but partially. That's partially it. But what does God call justice on the earth? What is God's view of justice? We try to put man's stamp on things and then therefore think God thinks that way. A good example of this is clothing. How are we supposed to dress for church? Well, you got to wear a suit and, you know, you got to wear good shoes because God deserves the best. Well, do you really think your polyester is the best clothing on the earth? Is that really the best? Because it costs the most that you could afford, that makes it the best. I've seen some people's wedding registries, and you go through Bed Bath & Beyond, and you're like, oh, $400 sheets. Yeah, that's likely. You know, where's the $12 colander they wanted? You know, where's the little clip for the chips to keep them fresh? You know, get some of those. Where's the little corn on the cob things? I'll get those things for them, you know? They're like, but the material is so great. I'm like, $400 sheets. I don't know about that dog. I just, you know. But it's going to work regardless, you know? I don't. So, you know, we look at the materials and they're like, oh, this is the greatest material. Why? Because man calls it the best? Does God call that the best material? Because I think the greatest man who's born of a woman, John the Baptist, didn't have great suits. Does that mean we're supposed to wear these sackcloth? No. Please. Wash your drawers. You know what I'm saying? Just... But we can put man's stamp on God's word. You hear what I'm saying? Man's stamp on God. What does God call justice? And there's a lot of teaching about this today, but Jesus came to pay some things, and justice is that he gets what he paid for. I knew Jesus Since I was a child, I knew who he was. I knew he was a savior. I knew he died on the cross for my sins. But he didn't get what he paid for until I was in college. That's justice. Justice was then done in my life. Jesus received justice at that moment. Jesus, the Bible says, bore stripes that I could be healed. My sickness is injustice. It's no different than I was at, oh goodness, I was at Kentucky Fried Chicken yesterday. At the rest stop on the turnpike, right? Was it yesterday? Friday, whatever. So we're at the rest stop and they said, oh, I went to number 7. And they said, yeah, we don't have any biscuits. My wife's like, what you talking about? You ain't got biscuits. Potnet? No, she didn't say that. I made that part up. But she's like, how could they not have biscuits? You're Kentucky Fried Chicken. He's like, uh-huh. I'm like, well, what we get instead of the biscuits? Because we don't pay for the biscuits. What do we get? Nothing. The biscuits are free. What you talking about free? You mean I can randomly wander up here and ask for 18 biscuits and you're just going to give them for me? I mean, come on now. Yeah, I'd like a truck full of biscuits for free. Since they're free, let me just... Can I get some of them free biscuits? Can I come back next week and get my free biscuits? No, they ain't free. It's a combo deal. And I want everything included in the combo. This is injustice. I wanted to march up in that thing. You know what I'm talking about? Let's start a riot up in here. No. It was an injustice. I done paid for some biscuits. I want my biscuits. You know, y'all feel me, right? KFC without biscuits. We almost got in the van and drove to the next rest stop. But I was hungry, so we stayed. Can you imagine you walk up there and you're like, yeah, I like a number 7. And there's just like, you know, you get a little mashed potatoes and gravy. And you got some coleslaw and a biscuit and a drink. Here you go. Like, where's the chicken? Oh, the chicken's free. We added chicken. She's talking about how to chicken. Can I get my money back? No, we done gave you the meal. That ain't a meal. I want the whole meal. Well, check this out. The Bible says that he paid for your healing with his stripes. Just like I didn't get no biscuit, Jesus didn't get that healing that he paid for. That's an injustice. I mean, and I was ready to riot over a biscuit. Yet it's okay that I'm sick. And that biscuit's like 60 cents. My healing cost his life. The healing's far more valuable than the biscuit. Your family members are dying and going to hell. That's injustice. I mean, we'll get worked up over, you know, they don't use too much gas in your car and didn't refill it. That ain't right. I don't let you use my car. Quarter tank brought it back with an eighth. Hey, you always do that. Can't stand you. The Father sent his Son to die on a cross, and this person ain't saved, and that don't bother us at all. That's why you're going to hell, you know. That's why God hates you, you know. It's an injustice. It's not justice. Why do we know it's injustice? Because the Word of God tells us it's injustice. We need to look at the Bible as the truth of God's Word. And I say, my life is not lining up with this right now. Which is wrong? Is it the Bible or is it my life? The Lord has me going after a spirit of poverty this year. I mean, I'm locked on to this thing. I got my scope on it, and I'm not shooting too much because I see it's in me. I don't like getting shot. But there's poverty mentalities that we walk in. Some of you, you got a defeatist. You got a rejection, a spirit of rejection that covers your entire life and it helps you to deal with the pain of the world. But it is not justice. It does not line up with the Word of God. Well, I'm not going to try that. I'm probably going to fail. That's injustice. That's got to stop. If you look at something and say, well, that looks expensive. Oh, that's spirit of poverty. Oh, they're going to do, I know these people are trying to get over me. I know that's judgment. It's got to stop. You got to love truth. You got to say, this isn't the word of God. There's an injustice in my heart and it has to end. I have to be a lover of truth. Not just in how people deal with me, but how I deal with me and how I deal with the word and how I let the word deal with me. Does this make sense? The Bible says that Jesus was the beginning of everything, and he made everything there is. He made it all. It's all his. It's all supposed to be good, and the things that aren't don't line up with his word. I mean, you hear that? Colossians 1 says, "For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rules or authorities. All things were created through him and for him." If things are at work on this planet that are not working for Jesus against the word of God, it's an injustice and I need to resist it. I can't just accept it. Well, that's just how the world is. John 1:3, we read it earlier. It says, all things were made through him and without him was not anything made that was made. Jesus don't make no junk. Romans 11:36, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever and ever. Everything was made for his glory. And here's what happens. When we believe a lie, and I'm going to finish up real here in a, well, I don't know, in a couple minutes. When we believe a lie, I want you to hear this. Now, this is kind of deep, but I want you to get this. When we believe a lie and we don't reject it in our life, we begin to build upon it. It comes into the foundation of our belief system, and everything that comes after it, we build a pyramid of junk. And so we have this false theology in our life, like, let me just use a couple, people will fail me. I can't count on anyone. I'll never be able to afford that. I'll always be sick. Well, all that, there's a lie in every one of those. And it's at the foundation of your belief system. Now, maybe somebody rejected you when you were young and they treated you bad, and somehow in your heart you dealt with it by lashing out and saying, well, you can't trust people. And then you forget about that, but you remember that you can't trust people. And you build upon that layer upon layer upon layer. And now your relationships are not healthy because you don't trust people because you have that lie. And you kept the lie because it helped deal with the hurt. Well, sometimes you got to expose the hurt for God to heal it. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus tells this story. He says, look, there was a dude who built a house. He says, everyone who hears my words... The word. Everyone who hears my words and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against the house and it fell, and great was the fall of it. You see, we don't deal with the truth. We don't accept the truth. So we keep a lie in our heart. But the problem is the storm is coming. Matthew 24, Jesus even prophesies it. Guess what? Hard times are coming. And if you build your life upon these disappointments, upon these lies, the storm is going to come and your life will be washed out. We want peace in the midst of the storm. How do we get it? We build our life upon truth. We build our life upon truth. And we come to a place where we say, I'm now angry at what this person just said to me, but I know it's not because of them. It's because of the offense already in my heart. I'm now not going to yell back. I'm going to recognize this is my reaction. And I'm going to deal with my heart issues. That's kind of wild, right? Lovers of truth. There's a song that got played right before the beginning of service. Who heard it? Anybody know what it was? It's a Misty Edwards song, Fling Wide, right? People love that song. Fling wide. Come on. The doors to my soul. People love that song. They love it. Fling wide, Lord. The doors to my soul open up. Oh, I love that. Let's look at the words, shall we? It says, fling wide the door to my soul. Open up the door to my heart. Have your way. Whoa, 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 wait a minute. Have your way, have your way. I won't be afraid. Wait a minute. What's there to be afraid of? Wait a minute. When God says, don't be fearful, I mean, something's about to come that's going to make you really scared. That's what that means. I won't be afraid. I'll face the wind. I won't be afraid. I'll embrace the flame. That means there's a wind and a flame she's prophesying that you could get scared of. Then she starts singing, take me through the fire. Take me through the rain. Take me through the testing. I'll do anything. Does anybody ever go to college and the first day say, professor, can we have more tests? I see you have 6 here, but think we can do 10? I like the testing. More testing. Make them hard. I want you to find the areas that I don't know in this class. You know those parts of the book that you skip in the lecture? Test me on those. Come on, bring it to me. I like to be tested. Take me through the fire. Take me through the rain. Take me through the testing. I'll do anything. But anything, she says. Test me, try me, prove me, refine me like the gold. God's like the gold. And then she says again, like the gold. I mean, she says it even higher again. And we all want to say, yeah, test me, God. Show me the things in my heart that are blocking you. I want to have a pure relationship with God. I want to just look in my heart and tell me what you see that doesn't please you. And everybody's like, yeah, right, I want that. But it's funny as a pastor, when God shows me those things and I have a conversation with you, oh, it's quiet. In all my years of ministry, I rarely have heard people say, oh, that's in my heart, Pastor? Wow. Thank you for telling me that about myself, because I don't want any of that in me. Can you tell me how to walk out this whatever? I don't think I've ever heard that. Here's what I hear a lot of. No, you misunderstood what I was saying. No, I don't think you really. Oh, well, kind of judging me there, Pastor. We're not supposed to judge one another, are we? Well, I was watching Benny Hinn the other day, and he said this. Like, Benny Hinn pastors you, does he? Wow, that's amazing. How do I get in on that? Lovers of truth. We all want to be lovers of truth. I mean, if you're a Christian, you better. I mean, we all want to be lovers of truth. But how many of you have relationships in your life where people can really talk truthfully into your life? I mean, there's people I've pastored for years, and any pastor will tell you this, not just me. Years, and you're long suffering with them, and you're loving upon them, and you're pouring into their life, and one day you finally have to say, dude, you're destroying your life with this little thing right here. I'm here for you. Huge offense comes up. They gossip about you, want to tear apart your ministry. Lovers of truth, as long as I like it. Now, I don't know if this is offending you or not. I don't know if you think I'm on a control trip. I'm not. I have absolutely no desire to muck around in your life. It's just not fun to me at all. I got 2 kids I'm trying to raise, and my hands are full with that. I have no desire to run people's lives. And the truth hopefully comes to you through the Word of God, through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, through the times of presence of the Father. I mean, that's the greatest time to get truth. But hopefully you have friends in your life who will speak truth to you and say, dog, I know you think you're right, but you're in sin. This judgment is sin. This bitterness is sin. This unforgiveness is sin. Please stop gossiping about that person. I know you think they did you wrong, but this is sin. Stop. We love you. We're going to go, you know, kick it later. But right now, I have to be your real Christian friend and say, stop sinning. I mean, do you have friends in your life? I'm not even talking about a pastor. I'm not even talking about people you've submitted your life to. I'm not even talking about spiritual parents. I'm not even going that far. But do you have, when's the last time someone came to you and said, dog, I know what you're going through, but you're in sin. Stop it. Quit spending money you don't have. Quit going partying when you should be doing things at school. Quit gossiping about folks. Get in the Bible because you're constantly quoting it out of context. I know you say you feel called, but you are never going to be called by God with this lifestyle you're leading. I mean, does anybody ever speak to you like this? You have some, again, I'm not even talking about a pastor. I'm not even talking about spiritual authority. I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about, do you at least have friends that you've opened your life to? Talking about, come Lord, with the fire and the testing. When you can't even take a word of correction from someone that you know face to face who loves you. If you can't take someone who's walked with you in the flesh correcting you, you think God can really reveal your heart and show you the hidden secrets? He knows you get offended with him and run away. Oh, God didn't, he didn't get me out of that trial he had me in. It's because you didn't pass it. If you don't come out of a trial, that's called failing the trial. Don't put that on God. No, he didn't deliver me from this. Because he had to deliver you from it so many times, he just gave up. How many times he got to deliver you from this thing? And then you open your life back up to it again. I don't know, Pastor, it's like I'm cursed. I keep having bad relationships. Well, how about you stop that? Oh, Pastor told me not to date this person. Oh, look, he's got it out for us. Yeah, that's it. Exactly. Yeah, that's it. All right. I really care who you date. I'm really up at night wanting you to have the right boyfriend. Yeah. It means a lot to me. Absolutely. Y'all hear where I'm coming from? Lovers of truth, man. We got to be lovers of truth because it's gonna help my life. I mean, if I love truth, it's going to help me. Jesus gets what he paid for. Justice is established on the earth. Amen? So, I have the ushers. They're going to hand out some things. Where are they at? Hand me one, Brian, if you would. So many of us are unable to fight the lie of the devil because we don't know what the truth is. Today, if you're not a Christian, if you've not been converted, or if me using the word converted offends you, you've probably not been converted to Christianity, you don't know the truth. You need to get the truth in you. We confess the word of God over our lives. Are we handing them out, ushers? What's happening here? Go up and down the rows. Hand them out. Just hand a bunch down the row. Come on. Work it out. See, like Pastor Melissa talked last week, we resist the enemy with the word of truth. I don't get into wrestling matches with the enemy. Don't read this yet. Just put it down. We'll read it together in a second, all right? Put it down. Thank you, Sarah. Let's put it down. We'll look at it together in a second. Now, some of us are bound in lies. We don't even know we're lies. And as you read the word of God, as you faithfully come to church and you hear the preached word, as you fellowship with other believers, I mean, you'll learn more in Christianity just being around other believers who are like, nah, dog, we don't do that. Oh, they don't do that. No, no, no. They don't have the problem you do. When you're with three or four Christians, they say, we don't do that. And just say, okay, well, maybe I shouldn't do that. Quit judging people. I want the band to come on up here. And here's what we're going to do. They're not going to play yet. They're going to play in a minute, but... Pastor Melissa gave us some instruction on confessing the word last week, right? Who thought that was good? Has anybody done that yet? Just written scriptures and confess them over your life? Well, I'm going to help you out. Those of you who are too lazy to write down scriptures and confess them over your life, I just gave you some to start with, all right? Here's what you want to do. Every night, or before you go to bed, I want you to read these out loud to yourself. Every morning when you wake up, read these out loud to yourself. And I guarantee you, within a month, you'll start to see your life change. Come on up, man. Don't start playing. Just come on up. Stand to your feet. We're going to read these together. We're going to read this first group together. I'm trying to tell you, I'm giving you keys to change your life for the better. Amen? At the end of service, I'm going to pray for some people who need some breakthrough. And you just come on down at some point. But we're going to read this and then I'm going to pray over you. I'm going to dismiss you, all right? We're going to start with number one. We're all going to say them together. You ready? Ready? Go. My prayers are powerful and effective. Number two, God richly supplies all my financial needs. I am dead to sin and alive to obeying God. I walk in ever-increasing health. I live under a supernatural protection. I prosper in all my relationships. I consistently bring God encounters to other people. Through Jesus, I am 100% loved and worthy to receive all of God's blessings. Each of my family members is wonderfully blessed and radically loves Jesus. I uproariously laugh when I hear a lie from the devil. Here's what's going to happen. You quote this whole thing in the morning and at night, and what's going to happen is when your normal nonsense doctrine comes up in your mind, your false beliefs based upon the sand pop up in your mind, it's just going to come out of your mouth. You're going to say, I feel a little sickness coming. Or someone's going to say, you're going to catch this sickness. And you'll say, no, I don't think so, because I walk in ever-increasing health. So how am I, you might be coming down with a sickness. I'm coming down with a healing. I don't know what you got, but I ain't catching it, because it ain't in the promise of God. Amen? Who understands what I'm talking about? Is this helping anybody today? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you today. And Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, you would convict some hearts.